Voices that inspire the extended interview.
Mary Ann Lindley. I've been in Tallahassee such a long time, but my primary involvement has been as a journalist, a newspaper columnist and editor, and then a county commissioner. But primarily, I think of myself as just a good neighbor and friend.
I love that. How long have you lived in Tallahassee?
I moved to Tallahassee in 1969, right out of college. I went to the University of Missouri, and just when people say, how did you get to Tallahassee? I say, well, in a Volkswagen bus, because that was literally the truth, an old Volkswagen bus. And it was just a lark. It was just, you know, how you are when you're 20 years old. You just decide to head out and see what's out there.
But Tallahassee, like, you know, some people go to New York or they'll go to L.A. or Miami, but you chose Tallahassee? Were you on the way to somewhere else? And then,
But Tallahassee kind of happened. It happened, you know, the road to Tallahassee. When I got out of journalism school, there were jobs all over the place. And Florida was a very famous and well-known for its some really tremendous newspapers. It had a lot of good newspapers. And so at that time, I mean, I sort of sent out notes to different newspapers, and I had five or six say, well, if you're in the area, stop in. And so at the time, you know, I thought a college town would be great because I'd come from a college town, and we stopped here, truthfully, and I was going to go on to, you know, Tampa or Jacksonville or Miami or whatever, but we stopped in Tallahassee. And it was beautiful. I remember driving in along Thomasville Road, coming into the city, and it was just gorgeous. It was August. I said, okay, let's stop at the Tallahassee Democrat. I did, and they offered me a job. You could start Monday. So, you know, it's not like I had a long-term plan, and I don't think in those days people had the same feeling that they had to have. What are you going to do when you grow up? What are your majors? What are your aspirations? Where do you hope to be when you're 30? It was very lackadaisical. It was an adventure.
Which is in some ways sort of sad because I'm not sure. Sometimes it's serendipitous how we find our path in life. It isn't so planned or, you know, that's what makes it fun.
Serendipitous is a good way to put how things happen in our lives. Absolutely. It's almost mystical sometimes. And, you know, serendipity played a big part in it. But serendipity might be just the incentive we need to make the most of where we find ourselves, too.
That's a good point. I agree. I think that it's all about mindset to kind of go, wait, this is kind of a neat place. What can I do here?
Make the most of it. I think that's true. I have some real funny stories of making the most of it, but I really grew up when I came here because I was far from home. I was meeting people who were natives here and in the South. That was important to me, and I'll tell you why. When I was a kid, I loved storytellers. But I grew up on a farm in Missouri, and I always said, you know, people were so laconic. I mean, the stories at the family reunions were really brief. They were really weather-oriented, crop-driven, or somebody's sickness or new baby. There wasn't a lot of storytelling, and I just loved that so much. So when I read books and novels when I was young, I wanted to hear people tell long, rambling stories, and the South is famous for that. So I was kind of in heaven when I met, you know, different chatty people. I call them chatty, but, you know, they were different people who were just so great at spinning yarns. I thought, wow, that's just so much fun, and you learn so much. It was just a great place. It just settled over me.
And it seems like it's continued, like you've been able to continue this passion of not only hearing stories, but you beginning to write your own stories.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it has happened. I mean, it's become part of me is to be a storyteller in my own way as well. Certainly writing is the way you find your best self, I think, in ways. my sister always says I got it all wrong. My memories were completely different from her memories, even though we shared the same experience sometimes. So stories are memory, and they are enhanced sometime. Or, you know, the stories I was telling you about my hermit uncle out in Colorado back that I just hear about for many, many years. Probably other members of the family saw it quite differently. They may have been not so harsh, not been chuckling, maybe more, maybe less. I don't know, but my stories are my stories.
So what is there a type of story you like to tell? It's like as you're developing this voice that's different than being a journalist, because this is much more personal as well as creative. Is it, you know, how do you hear your voice developing as sort of your own storyteller?
You know, I think to develop as a storyteller, as a writer, it just takes writing every day, just continuing to write until you get more comfortable with yourself, I think. I started working in journalism when I was 15 and 16 years old, working in a little weekly paper in the summers. And I remember stalling out over the typewriter until the crotchety old editor came out and just looked at me and said, just write it. You know, he almost exploded, like, quit stalling. Just sit down and write what you know, what you've just reported on. But little by little in your life, you just get more confident about what you see, what you think. You just start writing it and then let the chips fall where they may, kind of.
Well, did you always know that you wanted to write a book? Has that been something you've wanted to do for a while?
Oh, no. I never thought about writing a book. I just, you know, I was writing to deadline for many, many years. I worked at the Democrat, then I worked for another group of newspapers, then I moved to Miami and worked for there for a while, the Miami Herald. So I was always very daily deadline. I loved the pace and the energy of journalism so much. And I started writing columns in the late 70s, early 80s. There was always a word limit. It was, you know, 750 words or 500 words. So I really believe my attention span was so short. It ended at 750 words, and I kept thinking, well, a book is really a lot longer than that.
So with so much of your career being in journalism, how are you feeling about the state of journalism currently? I mean, it's such an important institution.
I'm really proud of the journalists who are still working in the business. And man, they are up against some really tough challenges. There's a feeling of, you know, who do we trust? And of course, I mean, it goes without saying, social media makes either everybody a journalist or every reader think they're getting, you know, certifiable, well-researched, thoughtful, double, triple-checked information, and they're not. But gosh, the people who are still in it, I just admire them, and we need them so much. And I do believe there's such a public service element to what most journalists are doing. I don't think they're not journalists for fame or fortune. They're just not, you know, it's like a passion. And, you know, it's a passion to write, to find out what's going on, as well as, you know, for a lot of people, it just comes very natural.
Growing up on a farm in Missouri.
Yeah.
What drew you to wanting to write and being a journalist? You said you started when you were 15. Where did that pull come from?
Where did it start? Well, I grew up on a farm in Missouri, as you say. And we didn't have books in our house except for encyclopedias. My dad read two newspapers a day. There were two daily papers, and then we had a weekly paper and lots of magazines. And he was an avid reader. People in our family were interested. My dad particularly was interested in politics and the Harry Truman era. So I knew reading was important. I just started writing. I started keeping diaries when I was probably 6 or 7, you know, those little diaries that have 5 lines that you must fill with information from your day's activities, which I was so happy to do. And I locked them tight. I locked those little diaries up. So I started writing early. I always was finishing the reading circle at elementary school where the books were. The books were in the schools. They weren't anywhere else in my life. I don't know. I think some people come out knowing they want to play basketball or, you know, send rockets to the moon. And I just always found myself needing to write things down. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of shy, honestly. So writing helps me find out what I think and helps me communicate.
So being shy or being, you know, sort of thinking of yourself as being shy, you then did a very unshy thing and ran for public office. What led you to that decision?
Well, it was just a natural transition, a natural segue from journalism. All the years I was reporting on this community and this state, I touched everything under the sun at least once. You know, all the issues. I knew, I always felt I knew the city limits exactly. I'd met a lot of people, so I felt really comfortable in community life. You know, at some point you think, well, I've been doing this a long time. Newspapers were changing a lot. The opportunity to run for public office came up, and I thought, I can contribute something here for a few years. I didn't want another career at all. I knew things that I wanted to really work on that I could do in a different way from just advocating as a writer. So, Kim, you and I came together in one of those errors. I was fortunate enough to get elected to office on the county commission. And about the first thing I started expressing interest in was finding ways to get young people who are in middle school and high school who didn't want to go to college for various reasons, that they would find careers or trades or professions that they were interested in and could do well, but they didn't have to have a four-year college degree. So your American Graduate Program and the things you did locally here with WFSU really coincided, and I think that's the first time I met you.
I think it was. I mean, I obviously knew you, but as a writer, journalist, and then from office, but that was the first time we interacted on something that had such meaning to both of us, of, you know, finding ways to provide, help kids see a bigger world out there and ways they could contribute.
One thing I learned at that time about helping kids see a bigger world was that sometimes parents didn't see a bigger world. Parents saw only college track. That was a really thing. So it was only 2015 or so. It was about 10 years ago that you and I were really involved in this. It seemed college track, college track, college track. So even the schools were not really offering or coordinating programs on trades and careers. So we worked with the schools. It wasn't as if the county commission, when we set up something called Leon Works, which is still going on, I think it's in its 11th year now. It's an expo every year that we have now hundreds and hundreds of kids from Leon and other counties come in and learn about jobs, careers that they don't need a four-year college degree, but they do need a certification, licenses. They need some training. And those jobs are so needed. So needed.
And well-paying.
They're well-paying, and they make for happier lives for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
I have a good story on a short story. The reason I got the idea was I had a plumbing issue at my house, and there were these two young guys from a plumbing office plumbing business. They came to fix my kitchen sink. I was sort of hovering over the sink, giving suggestions. And this young guy sort of wheeled himself out from under my kitchen sink and said, "Ma'am, we solve problems like this all day long, and we're good at it." And so I just laughed. It was so great. And I started interviewing them. And I said, "What do you like about this?" And they said, we like to solve problems. We like to fix things. We like to be here and then there. We don't like classroom work too much. And at the end of the day, we go home and go fishing. What's wrong with that? You know, that was creative for them. They feel needed. They are needed.
Yep. Absolutely. And, you know, that's what diversity is all about, is that we get to choose our own path, that it doesn't and it should fit to where the kind of life you want to have.
Yeah.
Everybody has different ideas and goals, and they're not all the same. So.
Right. And you find out what those are kind of as you move along through life.
Exactly.
So I always would try to say the parents, you know, if you hope your child will go to college and do whatever important thing that is, well, they can go later if they want, you know, but they might right now feel really comfortable doing something more creative, fixing things, building things, you know, caring for people.
Absolutely. So with your varied career interests and path, what has kept you inspired? Was there anyone in your life that inspired you, or like what keeps you going?
Oh my goodness, what keeps me going? What keeps me inspired? That's a really good question. Well, has there ever been any more urgency to feel like you're part of the whole, part of a community? And I don't mean that in a really big, giant way. I don't mean feeling like I have to be involved in everything that's going on, but finding ways to do my part to, and not just in political stuff. I mean, we all know we have our political views and we want to champion or work on, but I just feel what inspires me is at this time of life, people who need nurturing, people who need support, people who need caring. You never feel better, ever better than when you've made somebody else feel a little bit better. And a lot of people are struggling right now. I don't know. I never stop feeling interested in our world, and I feel lucky in that. I get inspired by books. I get inspired by conversation. This conversation with you is stimulating. Thank you. And I listen to other people. I read other people, and I learn from them. Try to be better at communications.
Well, I am sure in return, you have inspired many people in the way you've lived your life.
Inspired or annoyed, maybe.
Well, sometimes
I was a journalist and a
politician,
after all. You know, the two dark careers, right? Journalism and politics. So what else could you do to make yourself popular? Huh?
I love that, actually. I think that's great because you took what you wrote and you put it into a place where you could have impact.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, also, you get a really face-to-face communication with the public. In public life, you know, the people who come into the county commission or the city commission, wherever now, and they are often glaring at you. They are not there because they wanted to come tell you how great you are. And it's very sobering. It's important to take it seriously. It was really important to me to try to keep a sort of neutrality and to really hear what they were saying, because sometimes people are not awfully articulate about what's bothering them. They're angry, and in anger, you're usually not very clear about what the fundamental problem is or the real feeling. And so I always thought that was the most interesting part about trying to sort out. Even people I agreed with, sometimes I sort of agreed with, you know, I would think, I don't think you have the whole picture, you know. There's a lot more going on here than just what you're feeling and seeing. And you need to acknowledge that a little bit too.
Yep.
So I got a little preachy sometimes.
Is there anything else you would want people to know about you in a way that maybe they don't know you? They know you from your public side, you know, just something you'd want to share a little bit about, something you're thinking about or gnawing on?
Oh, I'm trying to learn how to age gracefully, I think.
We're all figuring that one out.
We're all figuring that one out. You know, no, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I called it tell-all journalism that I participated in for my whole life. So I feel like anything you need to know, you already know. I was really honest. Part of growing up in a little town, I grew up in a really small town, outside a little small town, was that everybody knew me and I knew everybody. So even though the size of that population has grown, I still feel I know everybody and everybody knows me. So I'm not particularly into the world of private life. I've never really thought of myself as having a private life. If you have questions, you're free to ask me.
Okay. Well, we'll put a phone number at the end of this. They can play up.
Okay. Yeah. This is Marianne Lindley, and I guess in closing, I'd like to say that to you all who are out there, if I see you in the grocery store and I start asking you questions, take it personally, because I really do want to know what's going on in your life.